I want to preach a message from this verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 18. Probably every one of us can quote this verse. With it being Thanksgiving, I wanted to preach a message being thankful. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, if you're in the habit of standing, if you would, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 18, the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, I thank you for the folks that come out tonight. Lord, for those that are traveling. Lord, I do ask that you would be with each one of them as they're traveling to their different destinations. Lord, I pray that you would just put a hedge about them. Lord, I ask that you would be with our service tonight. Lord, we invite you here. We want you here. We need you here. God, if we just go through the service and without you, it's all in vain. And God, I ask, Lord, that you would join us and speak to our hearts tonight. Give us something exactly what we need. We'll give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor that comes from it. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you, may today be the day of salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. We see here in this verse that we can all know the will of God for our lives. And simply put, it's to be thankful in everything. To be thankful in everything. Notice it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, in this verse, I see here that we're not given a choice to be thankful, but rather it's a command to be thankful. Nowhere in this verse or in the Bible does it indicate, does it say anything to the source of being thankful just for the good things that come our way, or just for the blessings. But rather notice this, that it says, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. This evening, I know how much Pastor loves peas. I even heard about someone bringing him a cupcake that had pea filling in it, and I heard he loved it. That's what I heard. Maybe that was a lie, I don't know, but shoot the messenger, you know. But I think I want to preach a message tonight that I wanted to title, Thank God for the Peas. Thank God for the peas. It's good, isn't it? Now, I don't know about you. I know I'm meddling. Yeah, fantasy football. Yeah, peas or fantasy football. The choice is yours. All right. So, you know, I got to thinking about this. Peas, you know, when we go to Thanksgiving dinner, the first thing we run to, I don't know if you're like Pastor or myself, the first thing I run to is the dessert line. I mean, I love desserts. I mean, it's a weakness of mine. And that's, I love my desserts. I shouldn't have them, but I love them. And then I'll run and get some more desserts. And then after that, I go into the other things, and, you know, like the turkey. Usually the deviled eggs kind of go before that. And then the turkey and the dressing and the mashed potatoes and mac and cheese and all that stuff. Way down on the list is a peas. Anybody else like that? Oh, okay, all right. So we got some honest people in here. I'm thankful for one honest person in here. But anyway, so I'm thankful for the peas, and I have 8 peas to be thankful for this evening. And I got a lot more than that, but I know some of you are going Black Friday shopping and want to get out of here sometime. So I'm going to give you 8 peas to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. The first pea that I think we need to be thankful for is for his propitiation. For his propitiation. You see, I owed a debt I could not pay. And he paid a price, a debt that he did not owe. All because of his love for me. You know, the Bible says, and he is a propitiation for me, for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. The Bible says, here in his love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, the foundation of our gratitude, the very foundation of our gratitude is found in our salvation. You see, we have so much to be thankful for. God has been so good to us. I've said it, and I believe it's worth repeating till the day I die, but if all in this world that I have to be thankful for is my salvation, I will die a blessed man. But the thing of it is God's been so much better to me than just giving me salvation. He's given me so much more. I believe Christians ought to be the happiest people on this earth. You see, he's been good to us. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The Bible says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Since I've been saved, the Lord put a song in my heart. Now, I'm not much of a singer, and Pastor probably could testify to that, hearing me up here singing, but I don't care. I'm not singing for you. I'm not singing for him. I'm singing for him. And it doesn't matter if anybody else likes it or not. I'm going to sing for the Lord. And ever since that day the Lord saved me, he put that song in my heart, and it's never changed. It's still a good song. You see, the Bible says he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see and fear and shall trust in our Lord. See, had he not became the propitiation for my sins, I would still be lost in my sins on a way to a devil's hell right now. But I'm thankful for his propitiation and his passion. The next thing I'm thankful for is his protection. His protection. You know, my gratitude is grounded in my salvation, but also the fact of he's my source of protection. He's my source of strength. He's my source of security. I know that when I became a Christian, I entered into his hands of protection. Do you realize that nothing ever occurs to God? So if that's the case, there's nothing that's going to come at me that he doesn't already know about. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I trusted the Lord for my salvation, and I committed my soul to him that day, and I know that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believe and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I feel like the three Hebrew boys. They faced that certain death, and they noticed what they said to O King Nebuchadnezzar. They said in Daniel 3, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful in answering thee. In this matter, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I'm thankful for his propitiation. I'm thankful for his protection. Let me find my third one here. I'm thankful for his precepts. For the word of God. The Bible says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Do you feel that way about your King James Bible tonight? I mean, as you found a great spoil. I mean, that it is something good. It's something that you have to have. I mean, is it that important to you? Grandpa Ali, many of you know him. Gone on and be with the Lord 15 years now. But he put in my mind, in my heart, Bible before breakfast. He taught me that God's word is important. God's word, it's important. The Bible says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. There's very few things in this world that is good anymore. But what we have here, we should hold fast to what is good. See, we have the perfect Word of God. Hey, listen to me, folks, and I'm going to jump off my notes here just a little bit, but if something is perfect and you add to it, is it any longer perfect? If you take away from something that's perfect, is it any longer perfect? We have the perfect Word of God. Don't mess with it. Don't mess with the Word of God. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I'm thankful for its preservation. That's another P for you, but I didn't have a can of peas for that. The Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God's word is forever settled in heaven, and it never will change. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. I'm glad that some things never change. But I'm thankful for its purity. The Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I'm thankful for the word of God's power. For the word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing center of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and as a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. The power of the word of God. Next thing I'm thankful for, thankful for this place of worship. I thank God for the house of God. I thank God for Puttonville Baptist Church. I'm thankful for churches like Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm thankful that goes along with this, and it's another P, I'm thankful for pastors that stand and preach the Word of God. Without hesitation, without being afraid, they're going to preach the Word of God, and we have a pastor here that does that. I love this church. You see, today, David said this, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Is that, you know, let me meddle again a little bit here. Do you look forward to going to church? You know, I my kids, when they were younger, they used to say this: "We got to go to church tonight, or we get to go, or we have to go to church tonight," or something like that. Or, you know, I said, "No, we get to go to church. It's a privilege to go to church." Do you realize in other countries, there's countries that they have to go underground to go to church? Do you realize that we have the freedom to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? It's a privilege to come to this house, this place of worship. You know, today is more said against the Word of God than for the Word of God and for the Church of God. Some say that the church is full of hypocrites. You ever heard that? I'm sure you've heard that door knocking. If you went out door knocking, you've heard, "I don't go there, there's a bunch of hypocrites." My next thing is, do you go to Walmart? Because they're full of a bunch of hypocrites there. Because I've been there. Some say the church is no longer portrays the love of Christ. And you know what? Sadly, that's true. There's no perfect churches out there because there's no perfect people. There has been a great forsaking of the assembly for the past few decades. I mean, the majority of folks are unchurched at the present time. Church attendance is at an all-time low, and especially on Sunday nights and Wednesdays. The faithful few that make up the nucleus of the local church has become fewer in number every. And I tell you, it's a sad shame. Why not, as we see the day approaching, why aren't we seeing more people saved? Why aren't we seeing more people in the church house? People, they want to hear messages that make them feel good. See, I love the church because God loves this church. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for it. I love the church because it's a place where we come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I understand you can worship the Lord at your house and in your car. I do that. But this is where we come together and worship the Lord. The Bible says, but as for me, I will come into thy house, into the multitude of thy mercies, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. I love the church because it's a place where the preaching and the teaching is done. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar of the church, or the ground of truth. I love the church because it's a place where God's people gather together. The Bible says, we took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. I love the church because it's a place where sinners are both sought and loved. I love the church because it was there that I heard the true gospel preached and I got gloriously saved. I love the church because it's a place where I get encouraged. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as men or some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The next thing I'm thankful for, I'm thankful for prayer. Now I know these are all peas that you've heard before, and they all taste good, don't they? Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Prayer is the way of communicating with our God. God left us with the opportunity to communicate with Him. It still baffles my mind. It still boggles my mind to think the God that spoke this world into existence wants to speak to me and wants me to speak to Him. The Bible says the Lord is far from the wicked, but heareth the prayers of the righteous. Pray without ceasing. There's much to be said about prayer. Confess your faults one to another, and that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. But my all-time favorite prayer verse is Jeremiah 33:3. Jeremiah lived through some tough times. His people were taken captive. His message was rejected. Yet through this tough time, God gives this weeping prophet some good news. God offers him the gift of prayer. He says this, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We see the privilege of prayer. You folks, we don't have to go to a high priest, because our high priest is in heaven, making ever intercession for us. We have the privilege to pray. He actually wants to hear from you. Not only that, but we have the promise of prayer. He says, call unto me and I will answer thee. We have the promise of His provision. There's a lot of peas in this message. We have the promise of peace. But be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's power in prayer. Folks, I still believe in the power of prayer. Great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The Bible says, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. But here's the problem with prayer. You lust and you have not. You kill and you desire to have and cannot attain. You fight in war, yet you have not because ye ask not. Next thing I'm thankful for, number six, I'm thankful for His promises. Isn't that good? That's a good pea to swallow right there. I like that one. He's given us so many precious promises. I want to mention just a few. The promise of His provision. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I've been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. May I say, God has been good to provide for your every need. Now here's the problem. We're a bunch of spoiled, rotten brats. and we get our needs and our wants mixed up. But here's the thing. God's been so good to not only give us our needs, but He's given us a bunch of our wants. He's been so good to us. The Bible says this, and having food and raiment, there let us therewith be content. So I see here, all that we need to have is our food and raiment. I think we could all agree that God has been too good to us. Not only the promise of His provision, but the promise of His power. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I realize this verse is talking about soul winning. Going and telling the world about the love of Jesus Christ. And you know what? There's a lot of folks that says, I hear it a lot of time, well, I don't have that gift. You've been called to soul win. Every person in here, you've been called to tell someone else about the love of Christ. It's not just a commandment for pastors. It's not just a commandment for deacons and trustees and Sunday school workers. It's for every born-again believer. We're all called to tell about the love of Christ. And we, you say, well, I just don't, I can't say. You'll be amazed if you will just get in God's Word and you will just ask the Holy Spirit to guide and speak through you. You'll be amazed at the verses that just come flooding to your heart and your soul. It's just the way it works. We have all the power we need to accomplish the will, His will for us, and that is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. But then we have the promise of His presence. I love that promise. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Don't we like to shout that from the rooftops? Oh, man, God, He said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. You know the good thing about that is He'll never leave me nor forsake me. You know what the bad thing is? When you're not doing right, He still says He'd never leave us nor forsake us. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. But then we have a promise of His prepared place. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. I'm looking forward to that promised place. That prepared place. The Bible says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. I believe all these peas, we'd all agree. These are some tasty peas. I think even Pastor would agree with that. Best peas he's ever had. But I want to thank the Lord for another P, and that's for problems. You see, I want you to remember that the commandment was in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How many gets excited about problems? I would dare to say that none of us go around and say, come on, Lord, give me one. I need one today. Give me a big problem. I need a big one, one that I can't handle. None of us go around doing that, do we? You know, I get to thinking about that. I think of the life of Joseph. Hated by his brothers, sold into slavery, falsely accused, thrown into jail, forgotten about by the butler. And when we look at this at close range, we would say, this is horrible problems that he had to face. And if you go back and do a study, God was silent to him during these times. However, Joseph kept his character, his integrity, And we know the story. Joseph rose to the second in command. And when his brothers found out that it was Joseph that was there in charge, they feared their lives. But notice what God says, what he says here in Genesis 50:20. He says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." See, had it not been for those problems that come across Joseph's lives, he would not realize that God had a plan. You see, next time you face a problem, realize that God has a plan for what you're going through. Now, this is a hard pea to swallow. I'll be honest with you. But this Bible says this in Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." The next time you're facing a problem, remember God has a plan. The next thing, I think of the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They faced this problem of the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar made the decree that at the sound of the music, that everyone was... That's why I don't like the sound of the music. I don't watch that show. But anyways, my wife's favorite movie. Helper. I don't know. But he says, at the sound of the music, you're to bow down and worship. And these young men, they said, "You know what? We're not careful in answering thee, oh Nebuchadnezzar. We don't even have to pray about it." You realize there are some things you don't have to pray about? You don't have to pray about tithing. Why? Because God already established it in His Word. You don't have to pray about being faithful to God's Word, to God's house. Those things you don't have to. You just need to be there. Why? Because God said to do it. That's just obedience. So the king tells him, he says, "Hey, heat up the furnace 7 times hotter than it's ever been." And he commanded them to be cast into the furnace. And we know through these fiery problems, we know what happens. Had it not been for those problems, we would not see the power of God's presence. Why? Because he says, "Hey, didn't we throw..." Now, let me paraphrase just for the sake of time. "Didn't we throw 3 men into the fire?" He says, "Lo, I see 4 men, and the fourth is as the Son of Man." God was right there through that fire. We're right there with Him. The third example, I think, of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, he was to be cast into the den of lions there. And they knew the only way, these men knew the only way to get at Daniel was to against his God. And so Daniel, in Daniel 6:10, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and in his windows being opened in his chambers toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his bed, his knees, 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." I love how God put that in there, "as he did aforetime." It means he didn't just say, "Hey, you know what, I'm going to have a rebellious spirit and I'm going to do what's against." No, I'm doing it because I've always done it and no one's ever going to change me because this is what's right. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to stand on God's word. I'm going to stand on what God has told me to do and I'm going to be faithful to doing it. It doesn't matter the consequences. It doesn't matter the problems. I'm going to do it. And here's the thing, you know what? We see the power of God's protection. God protected him during that. I think next, the Apostle Paul. On many occasions, Paul was beaten. He was stoned. He was left. He was shipwrecked. The Bible says, "Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I had been in the deep." He had a thorn in his flesh, and he asked God to remove the thorn in his flesh. This is what God says. He says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "And he had said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Through all that he went through, all the problems that he went through, you know what we see? The power of peace. Because he's the same guy that said this, "Be careful for nothing but everything, through prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The next time you face a problem, realize God has a plan. He has promised His presence and His protection, and He'll provide peace during it. The last thing, the last one, very quickly, I'm thankful for punishment. Say, Pastor, that's not something I'm really thankful for. How many went to the woodshed when they were little? Yeah. I preached here at our church a few weeks ago, and I was talking about how I was taken to the woodshed for not carrying the wood in the house. And true story. And I gave the story. My church thought it was funny. My dad was sitting there on the second pew, and my dad wasn't a saved man at the years ago. He's saved now, praise the Lord. But dad told me, he said, son, I want you to go, and I want you to, before I get home tonight, you're going to bring in the, fill up the wood box. I said, yes, sir. He got home, and the wood box wasn't full. I don't know about you, but that didn't mean good news. So from the time I got up, got to the wood box, got an armful load of wood, went back to the wood box, loaded it up. I mean, he was doing one of these numbers right here. The whole way. I still flinch when I see him. But you know what? My dad was trying to teach me something. Now, the way he went about it, you may not agree with it, but he taught me something. When he says to do something, you do it. But I'm thankful for his punishment. Why? Two reasons. Two more P's. Proves his passion. The Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. When I was 4 years old, we lived in a trailer park, and I had mud balls, and there was a trailer that I thought was abandoned. And I thought it would be a good idea to take a mud ball and throw it at that trailer. Well, me and my best buddy at the time, his name is Steve Lifford, I've never forgotten that name. He decides, hey, let's do this. Let's paint the whole house with mud balls. I said, sure. Well, one of us decided it sounded neat to have a rock inside that mud ball. So we threw it, and one of us got lucky and busted out a window. And we thought, wow, that was neat. Well, my dad comes home, and it wasn't pretty. I got a whooping, okay? You know what a whooping is. I got a whooping, I got grounded, and I had to pay for those windows. My dad made me work it off. 4 years old. He's such a mean dad, I'm telling you. And I had to clean that trailer down, hose it down, get up on a ladder. I'm scared of heights to this day. I'm serious. But you know something that I noticed? I got all that punishment, and my dad did not even say a word to Steve Lifford. You know why? Because my dad loved me. But also, not only proves his passion, but it proves his possession. Hebrews 12:8 says, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Steve never got in trouble from my dad, not one time. All the times that I got in trouble with friends, my friends never got in trouble by my dad. Why? Because he wasn't their daddy. So when I'm getting a spanking, I'm taken behind the woodshed from my Lord. You know what? I'm thankful because it proves that I belong to Him. And it proves that He loves me. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm thankful for peace. Tonight, as we're in a moment here, just thinking, meditating on the scriptures and the message tonight, I'd ask you to examine your hearts. Are you thankful for His propitiation? Are you thankful for Him taking your place and making an atonement for your sins? I'm thankful for His propitiation. I'm thankful for His protection. I'm thankful for this place of worship. I'm thankful for His precepts. I'm thankful for prayer. I'm thankful for His promises. Those are all good, but are you thankful for problems? Are you thankful for punishment? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, Pastor.